भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, Text Number 11. Chalasi yad brajach charayan pasun nalina sundaram natate padam shila trinankurai siddhatitinaha Kalilatam mana kanta gacchati Chalasi Yak
When
Brajat From the cowherd village Charayan Herding Pashun The animals Nalina Then a lotus flower Sundaram,
more beautiful.
Nata,
Nata.
O Master,
Te,
your
Padam,
feet.
Shila,
by sharp edges of grain.
Trina,
grass.
Ankurai,
and sprouting plants. Siddhati are experiencing pain. Iti, thus thinking. Naha,
us.
Kalilatam, discomfort. Manaha, our minds. Kanta, O lover. Gacchati,
feel.
Gacchati. Gacchati usually means destination. Of course, it's the destination of the mind of the gopis. The destination of the mind of the gopis is siddhati, experiencing pain. Why? Because the thought of Krishna walking in the forest and feeling the pricks of the husks of grain and the rough grass creates pain for the gopis. Dear Master, dear lover, when you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. There's no purport to this verse. So, Gyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate gurim yad kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. When one reads the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in relationship to this verse, one is opened up. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us a behind the scenes commentary on what is taking place. It is not easy to understand the pastimes of Krishna, especially the intimate dealings of Radha and Krishna and Krishna and the gopis. Very intimate, close association. One can study the whole of the Bhagavatam, one can study the whole of the Bhagavad Gita, and still not understand the purport or the true meaning of these pastimes of Krishna, because they're not accessible by just pure scholarship as such, neither by performing austerities. By performing great austerities can one get to know Krishna. But what is required is two qualifications, really, Prabhupada explains. The secret to success, right? There are numerous secrets to success, actually. If you look in the Veda base and type in secret success, right, those two words, secret success, then you find there are a number of secrets to success. But this one, this secret that I'm about to let you in on, is repeated a lot by Srila Prabhupada. He quotes a verse, Yasya Devi Parabhaktir. How, if one wants to be successful in understanding Krishna, one has to have faith in two items, or rather, two personalities. The first is the personality of Godhead. One has to have faith in Krishna, that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Not only that, second item, very important, is one has to have faith in the spiritual master. If one doesn't have faith in Krishna or in the spiritual master, then it is impossible to understand the pastimes of Krishna. And in having faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, that faith will be tested, or demonstrated if you like, by the degree to which one serves the order of the spiritual master and serves the order of Krishna. This is very important. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Gopal Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta, I was doing some reading on Gopal Bhatta. Lord Chaitanya travelled to South India and he arrived at the house of Vyankata Bhatta, who was the father of Gopal Bhatta. Gopal Bhatta was about 7 years of age. Gopal Bhatta is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And, as Nishin Kavacha Prabhu was telling me this morning, was a great devotee of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever he recited the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would recite the verse in three different ways. Yeah? And he would spend a lot of time studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So very, very exalted devotee. So when Lord Chaitanya arrived at Vyankata Bhatta's house, which is near the Ranganath temple, a very famous temple of Lord Vishnu in South India, then Vyankata Bhatta begged him. The Chaturmasya season has just started. So it's around about this time of the year that Lord Chaitanya arrived at the house of Vyankata Bhatta. His brother was Prabodhananda Sarasvati, who was also another devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So very, you know, these are very elevated personalities. Now, there's two interesting stories in these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One to illustrate this point of how one is meant to understand or to approach Krishna with the right mentality. The first story is, before Lord Chaitanya arrived at Vyankata Bhatta's house, he visited the Ranganath temple. And in visiting the Ranganath temple, he saw one Brahmana reading the Bhagavad Gita. Right? But this Brahmana wasn't pronouncing the verses of the Bhagavad Gita properly. Yet, he was crying tears of love. His body was showing symptoms, ecstatic symptoms. He was trembling and his voice was quivering. He was perspiring. He was showing different symptoms of devotion to Krishna, deep devotion to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya was struck by his countenance. So he said to the Brahmana, he said, my dear Brahmana, I can see that you're a very great devotee. Which section of the Bhagavad Gita do you like to recite? Right? Which section of the Bhagavad Gita do you like? And he said, well, actually, I can't read the Bhagavad Gita. Some days I say it correctly, some days I pronounce it incorrectly. Actually, I'm illiterate. But my spiritual master has instructed me to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. And so, following his order, following his instruction, I attempt to read the Bhagavad Gita. But he said, when I see the picture of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all mystics, the controller of everyone, everything, he's acting as the chariot driver, as the servant of his devotee, then I feel great ecstasy. When I see the beauty of Krishna, I can't help but cry. So Lord Chaitanya said, you are the knower of the Bhagavad Gita, right? You are the greatest scholar of the Bhagavad Gita, even though you couldn't read the Bhagavad Gita. Because by the power of his devotion and his mood of service, one to Krishna and two to his spiritual master, he was able to appreciate the relationship between Krishna and his devotee. No? Despite the fact that he was ridiculed by others, people would laugh at him because he couldn't read the Sanskrit properly, still, he had great faith. So Prabhupada quotes this verse, Yasya Devi, was it Yasya Devi, Tata Guru, is that right?
Yasya Devi Parar Bhakti, Yata Devi
Tata Guru. Tasyaite Katiyartaha Prakashante Mahatmanaha. This is a qualification of a great soul. One has to have unflinching faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in the spiritual master, right? The order of the spiritual master. In other words, devotion to Krishna is something practical, and it is something that we do. We put it into practice, following the instructions of Krishna and following the instructions of the spiritual master. It is not necessarily accompanied by great scholarship, as is demonstrated by the behaviour of the Brahmana. He was illiterate, But still he was able to understand the nature of the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Why? Because he was prepared to render service to Krishna under the auspices of his spiritual master. In fact, Prabhupada engendered great faith in his disciples. He enthused people. Even though they weren't very qualified in terms of Vedic culture, one of the qualifications of Srila Prabhupada's disciples was that they had great faith in his instructions. And as a consequence of simply adhering to and following his instructions, and also being free from the other cultural trappings and other cultural expectations, they simply surrendered to the order of the spiritual master. And then in surrendering to the order of the spiritual master, they became qualified. Even not necessarily very learned in the study of the Shastra, but in their preaching they were able to convince others to become devotees, for example. Right? You know, in the early days of the movement, in the late 60s and certainly in the early 70s, many devotees were made. And a lot of it was based on the sincere desire to serve and please Srila Prabhupada, not based on any scholarship. In fact, that was somewhat lacking, in fact. But that doesn't mean that the devotees didn't understand or appreciate Krishna consciousness. Their appreciation and understanding of Krishna consciousness was based on their desire to render service to the spiritual master. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvagam Vadami Buddhi Jogam Tam Jena Mamupayante Te. Krishna mentions, to those who constantly engage in devotional service, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Prabhupada mentions in the second, we were reading on Thursday, Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that constant service to Krishna is manifest through the service to the spiritual master. So this is a very important point. It appears to be quite difficult to understand these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And when we simply read them, you know, sometimes, or even when we read the commentaries of the Acharyas, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we think, wow, ooh, over my head. Probably is over our head. No, definitely over our heads. And we can attempt to study them and study them and study them, but what is required is that mood of devotion, so that we're allowed access or allowed entrance into the spiritual world. It said, you know, you can't storm the gates of Vaikuntha. By austerities or by great study. But rather, one gains entrance through devotional service. So there's another story. Very interesting, a very nice story which is given. When Lord Chaitanya went to Venkatabhata's house, then he stayed with the family for all of Chaturmasya. It's traditional for the sannyasis to stay in one place. And Lord Chaitanya one day was teasing. Well, he decided to tease Venkatabhata because he understood Venkatabhata was a great devotee of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. And Lord Chaitanya was a devotee of Krishna. Huh? Actually, there's no difference between Lord Narayan and Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada mentions it's offensive to see a difference, because they're the same. However, there are, what do we say? There are varieties of spiritual manifestation, of spiritual realization even. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to tease Venkatabhata. So he said to him, he said, Mother Lakshmi is the most chaste servant of Lord Narayan, and she never leaves his bosom. Right? Why was it that she was attracted to Krishna? Right? Mother Lakshmi is the consort of Lord Narayan, but yet she was attracted to run off with another man, basically, is what he's saying. Why was Lakshmi desiring to run off with somebody else? Krishna. So Venkatabhata said, well, that's not a contradiction, because Lord Narayan and Krishna are the same person. Right? They're actually the same person. And the reason why Lakshmi wanted to run off with Krishna is because Krishna's pastimes are more sportive. There's more fun, more sport in Krishna's pastimes. Right? And because she is actually, because she is the consort of Lord Narayan, then she likes to sport with her husband in all of the different ways that he likes to have fun. Right? He likes to sport and play. You know, so I mention this point to the people that come to the temple, especially the school groups and the scout groups, because they, you know, it's, the Hindu culture or the Hindu tradition is bewildering for most people. Because even for Hindus, it's bewildering. Because there are so many, you know, we say God is one, right? But you've got Ramchandra, you've got Narayan, you've got Vishnu, you've got Krishna. These are all one God, apparently. But then when you see one God, it's described, his incarnations are ananta, unlimited. Lord Nrisimhadev, half man, half lion. Hayagriva, he's got a head of a horse. It's quite bewildering for people. They can't work it out. And I explained to people that, well, I worked quite well with this group of kids that came the other day. I said, you're one person when you go to school, right? You have a certain mood, a certain character, and a certain set of behaviours when you go to school, right? I said, yep. I said, but when you go home and when you're with your mum and dad, then you behave completely differently, don't you? They said, yep. I said, but what about on the weekend? The personality that you manifest when you play with your, when you're hanging out with your friends on the weekend, that's different to the personality that you demonstrate to your mum and dad, isn't it? They said, yeah. They admitted, yes, definitely is. Right? The personality that you manifest to your friends on the weekend is very, very different to the personality that you show your mum and dad. But your mum and dad probably never ever see that personality. So you're the same person, but you manifest your personality in various ways. So Krishna's like that. He likes to manifest his personality in varieties, and so Mother Lakshmi, who's his associate, his consort, she also likes to participate in all of the different pastimes that he performs. So Mother Lakshmi left Vaikuntha to perform austerities to try to get entrance into Krishna's most attractive pastimes in Braj. But what happened? She wasn't allowed access to the Rasalila, the most intimate and most ecstatic pastimes. Mother Lakshmi wasn't allowed entrance. So Lord Chaitanya was teasing Venkatabhata. He said, how come Mother Lakshmi wasn't allowed? And Venkatabhata said, oh, I'm just a conditioned soul. I'm just a conditioned soul. And as a conditioned soul, I am subject to illusion. I cannot understand. I don't know why. He said, I don't know why Mother Lakshmi wasn't allowed. He said, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you can reveal it to me. Why Mother Lakshmi wasn't allowed. So Lord Chaitanya explained to Vyankatabhatta that Mother Lakshmi went and performed austerities, but she wanted to enjoy in her spiritual form as the consort of Narayan. Now, Lord Chaitanya made a comment. He said, in Braj, nobody sees Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? This is very important. In Vrindavan, nobody sees Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They only see him as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Their lover, their friend, their child. Right? The residents of Vrindavan cannot see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Occasionally Krishna reveals it to them. But their mood of love and affection for Krishna is so strong that whenever Krishna reveals that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their loving mood and affectionate mood removes that from their consciousness. Just like Mother Yashoda, when she was looking inside Krishna's mouth after she was checking to see whether he'd eaten dirt or not, because he got dobbed in by Balaram and his friends. She saw the whole universal form. She saw everything within Krishna's mouth. She saw the whole creation. Not only did she see the whole creation, but she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth, inside his mouth. So Krishna revealed to Mother Yashoda his opulence as if he is Narayan, the Lord and master of all mystics, the creator of everything. Everything comes from him, everything is within him. But when Mother Yashoda came to her senses, she just told him, alright, look, don't eat dirt again, and then she forgot about the fact that he was, okay, come on now, it's time for dinner. Right? Go inside, stop being a naughty boy. So the residents have been done, but Lakshmi wanted to keep her... Oh, actually, this is another point that Lord Chaitanya pointed out to Vyankatabhatta. He said, but the Shruti Gunas, how is it that the Upanishads, the Vedas personified, they were able to enter into the pastimes of Rasalila, but Lakshmi wasn't? Right? This is the question. So, Lakshmi wanted to enter into the pastimes, but keeping her original spiritual form as the consort of Lord Narayan. But that meant that she would keep that mentality of awe and reverence. So, not allowed. Whereas the personified Vedas, they wanted to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Rasalila. They tried to enter in by meditating on and cultivating the mood of ecstatic love. Still they weren't given access. So then they were given the blessing, actually, to take birth as gopis. Right? In other words, one, in order to enter into the realm of Vrindavan, one has to give up this understanding of seeing Krishna as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Right? One has to see Krishna in terms of the different relationships that the residents of Vrindavan had with Krishna. And that's very, very intimate. So, you know, when the cowherd boys play with Krishna, you know, they say, okay, hop on my shoulders. Let's have a hoppo bumpo. Right? Did you ever used to play hoppo bumpo? Good fun. I'll teach you how to play hoppo bumpo one day. Right? And then when Krishna's side gets defeated, okay, time for us to climb up on your shoulders and you've got to lug us around while we play hoppo bumpo. Right? So, you know, if they have the mood of always respecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can't say, okay, come on, I'll give you a fight. Hop on my shoulders, I'll hop on your shoulders. Right? They can't have that intimate, affectionate mood of loving exchanges. So, Mother Lakshmi wasn't allowed into the Rasa Leela, whereas the Shruti Ganas, the personified Vedas, they were allowed access. Why? Because they took birth as residents of Vrindavan, as gopis. Actually, even it's described how even as gopis, they weren't allowed to enter into the pastimes of Rasa Leela initially. There's a story of how when Krishna played his flute, then some of the gopis were restricted from actually coming to associate with Krishna. And it wasn't until they were completely purified and completely absorbed in the mood of the gopis that they were actually able to enter. So, in one sense, trying to understand these pastimes of Krishna is not easy. It's not easy. Huh? It's not easy. Not impossible, but it's not easy. Although, if one is approaching from the point of view of scholarship, if you like, or from the point of view of having performed austerities and penances, certainly there should be some scholarship. You know, we're recommended to study the Bhagavad Gita, we're recommended to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, but we should be studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita to understand the essence or the science of devotion to Krishna, not so that we can just accumulate knowledge per se. And if there are austerities to be performed, then the austerity should be to please the spiritual master and to please Krishna. Not that we perform austerities artificially to make some show of devotion, but rather the show of devotion is manifest in that our austerity is performed for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the spiritual master. That is our austerity. Chanting Hare Krishna, following the regulated principles, following the process of devotional service, preaching, giving others an opportunity to engage in devotional service. These kind of activities are the basic austerities that we need to perform in order to please the spiritual master. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada, nagati katopi. One cannot hope to gain entrance into the spiritual world without pleasing the spiritual master. It's basically, this is Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's prayer. And then by actually it's interesting, in the Bhagavatam it mentions by rendering service to the great souls, then affinity for hearing the pastimes of Krishna manifests within the heart of a devotee. We become attracted to hearing topics of Krishna consciousness. Right? And by that purification, then we'll get an understanding, we'll get entrance, if you like, into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, then we can understand the mood, this mood of the gopis. Oh Krishna, dear lover, our master. When you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Adi Purush. There's no purport.
No translation.
There's translation. I just read the translation then. Many of these verses in this chapter don't have any purports. No. If you read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, then you, well, I just get more confused. Because it's very intimate. Ato Krishna Prabhu.
The discussion between Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhatta, Mahaprabhu is referring, it sounds like it's described somewhere else, because Lakshmi's austerity is an attempt to enter into the Rasa Lila. Is it explained where it's described? You know, what Shastra it's in?
Not from memory, no.
Because they both seem to know about it, so it's probably interesting to find that. It's a pretty important incident in our
Yeah, because it's also handy to... It's handy when preaching in South India.
That incident when he was explaining to Gagata he's trying to establish the Krishna Supreme.
Yes. He's teasing Venkata Bhatta.
Since Lakshmi was not allowed in that pastime, in other words, he's saying that there is another superior person.
Oh, I missed out something. Good, you may... Yeah. He makes the point, when Krishna revealed himself as Narayan to the gopis, they weren't as attracted to Lord Vishnu as they were to Krishna. So Krishna's more attractive. That was the point. Yes, good point.
Anyway, this is Sri Sambhavaya.
Ramanuja.
Lakshmi herself.
Yeah.
And the way she's seeing with Vishnu, we understand that Vishnu is already having files on his table, Krishna doesn't have files on his table. The way we understand.
Files on his table.
Yeah,
a filing cabinet.
Which means Vishnu is already in the material world performing. He's already he's got his chakra and he's got work to do.
Yes.
Basically.
Yep.
So they are saying that in the Sri Sampradaya, they are based, the whole thing is based on Vishnu Prana. I mean, if some details, which actually means that in Vishnu Prana it says that when they go to the Milkashin and they complain to the Lord, and Vishnu is supposed to pull out a black hand and a white hand, and he throws up. And Vishnu Prana, he pulls out and he pulls out a black hand, and I will come as the Krishna Balaram.
Yeah.
So that is, they use that as the evidence to say that that Vishnu is supreme. But in establishing, I think they made a bit of So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to them, no, but the higher position is Krishna. Because even Lakshmi was disallowed.
Especially the Bhagavatam says, Ete champsa kala pumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. Indrari vyakalam lokam midayanti yuge yuge. That he's just explained all of these different personalities, and then he says that they're all coming from Krishna, actually. You know, isn't it interesting, isn't it interesting how even within the Vedas you'll find contradictory statements, right? And so consequently then that's why you need a spiritual master to direct your attention towards the correct understanding of things, which is what Lord Chaitanya is doing for Venkata Bhatta. Yeah.
And you go back to the original topic that you were discussing, that as much for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that much for the spiritual master. And I like you were explaining how initially devotees, it was almost just Guru Bhakti in Prabhupada's time. They loved Prabhupada, and that was the main focus.
Yeah.
So and then they were able to attract so much mercy from the Lord as a result of that Guru Bhakti.
Yeah.
So the question is that we have to have as much devotion for the Guru as we do for Krishna, And now in our society, it's not like it was in Prabhupada's time where there was only one guru, Prabhupada, and everyone loved him and worked, you know, cooperatively. Now we have so many gurus, and we're working alongside of the bodies that have different relationships to the our guru who we love, and try and love as much as we can, but no, we got it. So how do we practically maintain that devotion, and at the same time, you know, practically, cooperatively live in an institution? How is it managed, or how is it balanced? That I have, you know, I mean, we have other authorities, Temple Grasman and GBC, and in that way the institution is organized.
Yeah. Yep.
And yet we have to have this full love for the initiating spiritual master. It's kind of, how is it balanced? How is it practically done?
Well, we still have Prabhupada. And it's a good reason for devotees to be well versed and deeply acquainted with Prabhupada and his teachings and his example, I think. You know, sometimes devotees complain, oh, there's not enough of this facility, there's not enough of that facility, how come we haven't got this together, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it was only 40... this is the 40th anniversary of ISKCON right now. But 40 years ago, talk about facility. You know, we had nothing. We had nothing. You know, I used to get stories from Korma of the days when the devotees used to eat off of waxed paper. And all they had for breakfast was porridge with a little bit of orange peel ground into it. You know what I mean? So, you know, nobody around here has to worry about their next meal, whether it's going to be opulent enough, right? We have a quite a luxurious setting in which to perform devotional service. But it wasn't always like that. And there were major challenges and obstacles for being a devotee. You know, you became a Hare Krishna devotee. And that basically meant, you know, a stint in jail. I remember once I went out on book distribution down to Geelong, and you know, I'd been out distributing for half the day, and then I went looking for Jnana Samudra and I couldn't find him anywhere. Then I rang up the temple and I said, hey, what's going on? I can't find Jnana. He's got, so oh, no, it's okay, he's in jail. He's rung us up, we already know where he is. He got picked up and he had some outstanding fines in Geelong and they put him in jail. Oh, okay, that's all right. So, you know, we need to understand what Prabhupada went through to put us in the situation that we're in now, and how fortunate we are in many respects to be able to preach Krishna consciousness free from, you know, the greatest obstacles for us are probably internal rather than external at the moment. In fact, it's easier sometimes when you've got people fighting with you to come together and work as cooperative, you know, but when it's internal, our mind, you know, relationships and so forth, then it can be more problematic. So, a deep understanding of our relationship to Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya is a unifying factor, I would suggest. Study of Srila Prabhupada's books, but not just studying of Srila Prabhupada's books, study of his life and the challenges that he faced in order to preach Krishna consciousness. And you know, I think whilst we may all have different spiritual masters in one sense, Prabhupada does say, the Shastra says Guru is one, so the teaching is the same. And, you know, ultimately we're all following Prabhupada. That's, you know, that's pretty obvious. One experience that I had that brought this home to me one time, of course, when I joined the temple, Prabhupada had only just left. And so the mood, Prabhupada, you know, there was a really strong mood amongst the devotees. And here's another thing. I suspect we have to live with the fact that times will change. You know, we're foolish to think that they won't. Things will change also. That's another factor. But I remember the devotees asked Pushpanjali and I to go to Tasmania to sell candles to, you know, make some money for the temple. And we were there for about 4 weeks, I suppose. And it was the first time that I'd been away from the temple. No prasadam, no association. And boy, it was austere. It was, for me, it was really austere. And after about... And you know, I'd been a devotee for all of... Eight months, probably, I suppose. Like a fully practicing devotee for 8 months. And Pushpanjali had been, you know, practicing for a lot longer than I had, but, you know, maybe a year. So, yeah, we'd stay in a caravan, we'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, put in our dhotis, and then we'd go out there was a cave. There's a cave down in Hobart. And we used to go down into this cave, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy when I think about it. And I used to chant really loud, japa. Really loud, because my mind was so out of control. Really loud. So, you know, we had to go away from the caravan park, otherwise I wouldn't be able to chant my rounds properly. And it was incredibly austere. And you know, we used to go out with our wings on it. And Hobart is a really windy city, you know, so you're always self-conscious. So anyway, I remember it was getting really tough, and all I was thinking of was my mum and dad, my girlfriend, what I used to do when I was a teenager. You know, I couldn't think of Krishna. It was just so hard. We used to give Bhagavatam class, and actually, no, I didn't give Bhagavatam class because I wasn't old enough devotee. Pushpanjali used to give the Bhagavatam class and I just used to sit there and fall asleep. I don't know how he felt. Funny stuff. But then it was very hard. But we just kept going. And I was thinking, oh, how much longer am I going to be able to cope with this? And then, you know, I used to sleep. We wouldn't sleep in the beds because the Kamis had already slept in the bed, so we'd sleep on the floor of the caravan, right? And I think we had, you know, like these mats, had two or three of these mats laid out, and then just lie on that with a sleeping bag. It was freezing cold. So it was pretty austere. And we wouldn't spend 10 cents for the shower to warm it up. We'd only have cold. And this is about May, June, so... You know, Hobart's getting pretty cold at that time of the year. In fact, when Pushpanjali came back, he had pneumonia for 2 weeks afterwards. All he did was sleep in the Brahmachari ashram. So anyway, it was just getting so hard, and I was thinking, you know, when are we going to get out of this place? But anyway, one night I was lying on the floor, sleeping, and then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I had this dream, and Prabhupada came to me. And he sat in the seat and then he put his feet on my head and he just rubbed his feet into my head. And I just thought, and I just woke up. I called out, "He's here!" And then I realised, uh-oh, I'm still in Hobart. Still in the stinking caravan. But actually, the sense of relief that I got, after that, all of my anxiety went away. All of every bit of everything that I was worried about, it just went gone. And the next day, it was like ecstatic. I was just very happy. Didn't care. All of the things that were giving me trouble and pain had just gone. So, you know, somehow if we can connect to Prabhupada, that was what I learned from that, and the devotees were, that was the mood in those days, let's connect to Prabhupada, then, you know, our difficulties can be resolved. We can remain enthusiastic. And then the next day, Balaram rang us up and said, okay, boys, time to come home. Oh, we just start to enjoy ourselves down here. We just start to have a good time. What do you want us to come home for? Interesting, actually. It was after that then he rang up and said, okay, boys, time to come home. So, if we can somehow get that connection to Prabhupada, then, because ultimately that's who we're all following, even if we have different spiritual masters. That spiritual master is only acting as a representative of Prabhupada. And he's only teaching us what Prabhupada has taught. And, you know, there may be different flavour or a different emphasis in some areas, but ultimately the essence of our, it's all coming from Prabhupada. And, you know, one of the reasons why ISKCON has been successful, despite the fact that, you know, even mistakes have been made, but the devotees followed Prabhupada's instructions, created a governing body, or certainly Prabhupada created the governing body, but then they kept it intact, right? And if we follow that system, follow the guidelines that are given to us by Prabhupada, work under the auspices of a governing body, you know, in other words, keep the society as faithful as possible to Prabhupada's teachings, then we should be okay, I would think. What do you think? That's our connect. Prabhupada's like, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of we get the power from a powerhouse, right? And how do you get the power from a powerhouse? You plug into the plug in the wall, right? That's your connection. So for all of us, even though we may have many connections to Prabhupada, Prabhupada is our connection to the powerhouse. So that so long as we remain faithful to him, then we'll get the Shakti, we'll get the 240 volts, or the 50,000 or the 60,000 volts, depending on how much we can carry. We'll get that. Anything else? Yeah. It's interesting, I was discussing this with Atul the other day. Even now, even though we are part of a sampradaya, the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya sampradaya, because of Prabhupada, and because of the success of ISKCON, which ultimately is testimony to Prabhupada's greatness, then even in India now, we are referred to as the ISKCON sampradaya. You know, ISKCON gets its own label, if you like, because of what Prabhupada did. Unique. Okay. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.